Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Today we continue a program that I began yesterday. It should be easy to jump into. On the other hand, the previous show is still available. It's called Why Does the Bible Need to Be Defended? And you can find it listed in whatever podcast platform you're subscribed to. Or just go to the CGM Radio Network, find the Bob Siegel Show page, and they'll be listed right there. In yesterday's show, I was responding to fellow Christians who see no need for Christian apologetics. Christian apologetics, once again, refers to defending the claims of Christ through reason, historical accuracy, archaeology, science. Many say that because God calls us to faith, facts are not necessary. God is the God of the heart, they say, not the head. I dispelled such notions by raising an important question. How can we call people to follow something of eternal consequence without allowing them to ask us why or how we know it to be true? Although ignoring apologetics has been a problem for years with the church at large, one arena which used to include apologetics as a vital part of its work was the college campus ministry. Unfortunately, much has changed. I saw it coming back in the mid-90s when I attended a campus ministry conference in Atlanta, Georgia. In one seminar, the instructor said that apologetics were irrelevant today. He actually said this. Irrelevant because we are reaching out to a postmodern world. By postmodern, he meant that moral relativism was making it difficult to talk about values without sounding dogmatic and old-fashioned. He also meant that rational, linear thoughts were looked down upon and people were more concerned with emotions. He went on to say that the best way to share the gospel was through personal stories about our experiences with God. Now look, having graduated San Jose State as a drama major, being a person who for years has performed one-man plays all over the country and who now writes novels, I certainly see the value of stories. I love stories, fiction, nonfiction, personal. Even when I teach, I load the lecture with personal stories and other illustrations from other people because the academic style can often be boring. And so I have no disagreement with any challenge about the mode of our message. As for our own testimony, the sharing of experiences about how God is working in our lives being more important than any long discussion about Bible manuscripts, again, I totally agree. Any other Christian apologist would also agree. Apologists are specialists. They understand that their work is only one of many key ministries. The purpose of this discussion is not to argue that apologetics are more important than anything else. Instead, I am simply responding to the assertion that apologetics have become irrelevant because this is taught everywhere. My friends, never has Christianity been hated, ridiculed, dissected, and disproved in the college campus of America more than today. Apologetics are merely the other side of the story. With all due respect, such a response has never been more relevant. When seeking undergrads want to get close to God, the worst thing they can do is take a religious studies class. Let me say that again. When seeking undergrads want to get close to God, the worst thing they can do is take a religious studies class. In a typical religious studies class, the professor says on orientation day, "In this class, we will not critique religions. We will merely study what they teach and allow them to speak for themselves." What he means is that he is not going to critique any religion except Christianity. The professor continues, "In this class, we are going to learn to respect all religions." What he means is that you are going to learn to respect all religions except Christianity. On the day you study Hinduism, Islam, Buddhism, Judaism, or even some religion about aliens being hatched from space pods, you will learn how beautiful the religion is. On the day you study Christianity, you will learn that the Bible is a chauvinistic book and a racist book. It promotes genocide and slavery. It doesn't do any of these things, but this is what you're going to learn about it. The Bible is also full of contradictions. They'll say, oh, yes, and the Bible has been rewritten and mistranslated. If any Christian dares to argue with any of these professors and defend the gospel, they'll hear, whoa, buddy, back off. Separation between church and state. You're not allowed to preach in here. This is a classroom. Funny how this separation never cuts both ways. People can say any vile thing they want about Christianity in the classroom, but we Christians dare not defend ourselves. See how it works? But these discussions are not limited to religious studies classes. God's good name is slandered in science, philosophy, humanities, you name it. Christianity is being torn to shreds. Without minimizing the love and gentleness of campus Christian clubs who still quietly lead individuals to Christ, our universities as institutions have been virtually abandoned because people are simply unwilling to take on the administrations or instructors. We are unwilling to stand against the very philosophy of our university. Now, to some degree, in the political realm, this challenge is happening on campuses with some organizations such as Turning Point, but I'm talking right now about the Bible and Christianity. Getting back to that. We must weigh the influence of an on-campus Christian fellowship against the barrage of teaching students are hearing day in and day out from their professors. Why do most of our Christian teachers with the same credentials teach at private schools or Bible colleges? Why have things become so polarized? How is this building the kingdom of God in any long-lasting, substantial way? Is it not part of our goal to transform institutions? For those who want to say apologetics have become irrelevant, then allow me to ask, what exactly is the alternative plan to take back our universities? And of course, these days, it's way beyond the universities. What starts at the university gets out in society 20 years later. The garbage taught in universities is destroying our country right now. So what's the plan to take back our whole country? That's what it's become. Well, maybe there is no such plan. Oh, sure, we can put a few drowning souls on our life raft, but the boat itself, I guess a lot of people in the church just think they'll let it sink. Now, before I continue, allow me to offer one more obvious but important reason why apologetics are still relevant today. And this, of course, should be more important than any reason. Apologetics are commanded in Scripture. I should have just started with that. I could have spared you this whole lecture, but I like lecturing. Anyway, yes, it is commanded in Scripture. 1 Peter 3:12. Always be prepared to give an answer. An answer. Anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. The word used there for answer in Greek is apologia. And so, to conduct this discussion with the simplest foundation possible, one who claims that the subject of apologetics is irrelevant is claiming that a command from Scripture is irrelevant. Often Christians view debate as something either too cerebral or too confrontational. Apologists are confronted with the popular catchphrase, "We can't argue people into the kingdom." My friends, never have I heard a Christian apologist claim that we can argue someone into the kingdom. Never have I made that claim myself. We are all very aware that unless the Spirit of God does a work in people's hearts, convicting them of their sins, nobody will be saved. At the same time, we need to broaden this observation because it is just as true that we can't preach people into the kingdom or teach people into the kingdom through Bible study or love people into the kingdom or fellowship people into the kingdom or enter the kingdom as a result of church services or even assume that one is going to accept Christ simply because we shared the gospel. None of these human endeavors will accomplish anything apart from the same criteria, the Holy Spirit and his work upon human hearts. Well, people still respond. People still have free will, but the Spirit initiates. And yet, presuming the Spirit is guiding us and working with us, are we not commanded to do all of those things? Preach, teach, love, share, worship, fellowship? Of course we are. Likewise, depending on the situation, some are called to argue. An argument need not be vicious. It need not be laced with any kind of name-calling. We are simply talking about debate. I remind you that Jesus debated the Pharisees all the time. All the time. In fact, if we remove such conversations from the Bible, our Gospels would be very brief. And in the book of Acts, we also read about a man named Apollos. I'm reading from the New International Version. For he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. And let us not forget the very first Christian martyr, Stephen, who was stoned to death for being too persuasive during a debate. In those days, they didn't gauge debates with response cards. Instead, those who won debates against hostile audiences were usually stoned to death. Now, was Stephen exhibiting some cerebral, fleshly, unspiritual skill? On the contrary, we are told in this same passage, Acts chapter 7, that his wisdom came from the Holy Spirit. The moral and academic attacks are every bit as strong today and are not going away anytime soon. A number of years ago, toward the end of a debate in San Diego, my opponent claimed the Bible promoted rape. That's right, you heard me correctly. Rape. I was able to get up and say emphatically, that is simply not true. I proceeded to show how he had taken Old Testament passages completely out of context, passages allowing ancient Israelite men to marry women from nations they had defeated in battle. Nobody in the room could deny how foolish this man looked for making such a statement. But how often do people like that make their point without being challenged? He was challenged that night, and he was challenged publicly before an audience he might otherwise have persuaded. How was he challenged? I used apologetics. And that is what I will continue to use every so often on my broadcasts and podcasts. After all, they provide another reason for me to say, this is Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.